Amid plummeting polls, a Liberal MP announced that she won't run again, claiming she's been the victim of threats and misogyny.
A True North exclusive reveals a Palestinian group linked to the recent anti-Israel protests is a recipient of the Canada Summer Jobs funding.
Despite BC backtracking on its decriminalization plans, the Trudeau government is still considering decriminalizing drugs in Toronto. Hello, Canada. It's Friday, May 3rd, and this is the True North Daily Brief. I'm Cosmin Jirja.
And I'm William McBath.
We've got you covered with all the news you need to know. Let's discuss the top stories of the day and the True North exclusives you won't hear anywhere else. Another Liberal MP is abandoning the party amid plummeting polls nationwide. Liberal MP Pam Damoff won't seek re-election in her four-page resignation letter posted to her Facebook page. She said, "Public discourse has deteriorated and trust has been lost in public institutions," which she attributed to misinformation and lies spread by politicians and social media. The MP representing the riding of Oakville North, Burlington, announced her resignation, while recent polling shows her riding as a conservative stronghold with a 90% chance of the Tories winning over the riding. The federal ridings of Oakville West and Oakville East most recently have polls where the conservatives possess a 96% and 98% chance of winning, respectively. Damoff wrote in her resignation letter, quote, "The threats of misogyny I have experienced as a member of parliament are such that I often fear going out in public, and that is not a sustainable or healthy way to live." She did not point towards a single example of threats or misogyny. Instead, she decided to focus on the accomplishments she was proud of. Now, I don't want to undermine some of the threats and, you know, vile language that politicians, especially women, do receive, because it is real. I mean, you do see it online, but when you're a public figure, especially when the situation in the country politically and economically is so tense and heightened, it's almost expected. It's a workplace hazard to face this kind of treatment. And going into the job, you should have and be sturdy enough to get through all of that while still representing your constituents. So, William, what does this tell you with Damoff backing out of her re-election? Does she really have a chance to win? And is the current polling a reason why she made this decision, more so than what she claims?
I mean, I think it's a reflection of the cynicism we now have for politics as a whole, that we're questioning the real motive behind why this MP is choosing not to run again. I think it's clear that the level of discourse has fallen dramatically, and I have every concern for members of parliament, other politicians, especially women, who are on the end of some very vile language, and I don't doubt that many of them do feel unsafe. The question is, though, is that the reason she's citing publicly, and is it the real reason? Or is it because she's worried she's not going to win her re-election? Or is it some other reason that we don't know? And I think it points to the fact that the Trudeau government has been so untruthful in so many cases that any representative who speaks on its behalf is now subject to this question of credibility, of whether or not what we're being told is true. You know, the MP herself talks about the dangers of misinformation and disinformation. Well, the fact remains that the biggest purveyors of this misinformation in Canada are the Trudeau government. And I think that they have to bear responsibility for the fact that now when we're told something, our first instinct is to question it and wonder if it's the real story. So I can't say for certain one way or another if it's falling poll numbers or if it's actual sustained attacks against her or threats against her safety. I really hope that she hasn't been the subject of that. And if she has, my heart goes out to her. But whether or not we'll ever know the real story, I don't think we will. And it's unfortunate that we just can't trust that what we're being told by elected officials anymore. The Canadian government is subsidizing a full-time summer job for a, quote, social events coordinator, unquote, with the Atlantic Canada Palestinian Society of St. John through the Canada Summer Jobs Program. The organization is a chapter of the Atlantic Canada Palestinian Society, a nonprofit Canadian-Palestinian organization that has shared a series of anti-Israel posts on social media and organized pro-Palestine protests and rallies across the region. When asked by True North if the job, which offers $15.30 an hour for 35 hours of work per week, would involve organizing protests, the ACPS of St. John did not respond. The chapter's parent organization similarly did not answer a question from True North on whether the social events coordinator position helps organize protests. According to the St. John chapter's job posting, which was shared on Instagram, the social events coordinator will, quote, organize and promote community events, coordinate volunteers, and support community initiatives, unquote. To qualify for the position, the applicant must have a passion for social justice and community advocacy. Justin Trudeau has opposed funding groups through the Canada Summer Jobs Program on the basis of differing politics before. In March 2018, he said his government wouldn't fund groups focused on campaigning against abortion and LGBT rights. So, Cosman, I don't think it comes as a complete surprise that this government may approach funding for jobs like this with a bit of a partisan lens. But do you think that the government knowingly funded this position if they thought it would lead to organizing more protests of the kind we've seen erupt across Canada since October 7th?
Well, somebody in the government definitely gave this the green light. The question is how much oversight there was and whether they actually investigated what this group is up to. And it took our journalists only a little bit of research online, just combing through social media pages, to figure out that this group was participating in protests, political protests, anti-Israel protests to be specific. And they're tied to a larger organization that has spread a lot of concerning and divisive partisan messaging online. So it's obviously a political group with a political purpose, and it didn't take much research to figure that out. So whoever greenlit this project must have either not done the research or they were totally aware of what was happening, and they greenlit it anyways.
So certainly this is a government that hasn't distinguished itself on doing its background research before announcing funding. I think the example that comes most readily to mind is the funding provided to Laith Maroof, who turned out to be a virulent anti-Semite and who received funding for quote-unquote anti-racism programming and things like that. So obviously, now that this has been made public, thanks to the hard work of True North journalists, do you expect to see the Liberal government do an about-face and pull funding for it? Do you think that if it's made public and there's the same kind of outcry that we'll see an about-face, or do you think the Trudeau government is going to stick with their decision to fund this position?
Yeah, well, it depends. And there's definitely pressure because Jewish groups are aware of this particular organization receiving federal money to hire students, and it's young people they're hiring here. So it's not, you know, adults. It's young people that could be indoctrinated and used as a pawn in these protests. You see a lot of young people attracted to the pro-Palestinian protests because it is the current thing, right? It's the current thing that all of their peers are doing and attending, whether they actually understand the issue or not. So whether they pull the plug, that's hard to say. We'll see how much pressure they get and how much exposure this story receives. As the BC NDP government petitions the federal Liberals to recriminalize public drug use due to the overdose epidemic, conservative politicians raise the alarm on Toronto's ongoing application to decriminalize hard drugs in the city. The City of Toronto has had a pending application to decriminalize hard drugs in Toronto since 2022. The plan was updated in 2023 to decriminalize hard drugs for children also. A letter that prefaced Toronto's model of decriminalizing drugs for personal use to the government and signed by city officials said, quote, "We are confident that the right model of decriminalizing the possession of drugs for personal use will lead to a safer environment for everyone." The letter explains their collective conclusion to decriminalize all drugs for all ages coming after convening with experts and listening to past and present drug users and those impacted by addiction. The letter reads, quote, "As you know, the evidence demonstrates that criminalizing the possession of drugs for personal use leads to discrimination and stigma and contributes to people hiding their drug use from their physicians, friends, family, colleagues, and community. Being criminalized has negative mental and physical health impacts, and a criminal record can prevent access to meaningful employment, secure housing, and full access to the social detriments of health, including fair treatment in healthcare settings. The program requests that policing and justice system resources be used on drug traffickers rather than drug users." I think the example of British Columbia will really blow the lid on this entire approach, or at least I hope so, because it's been so obvious no matter which way you look at it when you consider the statistics of overdoses, overdose deaths, the proliferation of drug use in public, in hospitals, bus stations, everywhere. It's all gotten worse, and decriminalization has not worked to prevent further deaths. And that's what it set out to do at the beginning, but it simply didn't work. So when will the left, William, admit that their decriminalization agenda has failed drastically?
Yeah, it's hard to think of another policy area where so-called experts are so out of touch with the situation on the ground and how their ideology is blinding them to the hard reality of what's actually happening in our communities. You know, we've seen so many examples where these so-called harm reduction experts have said, oh, this is the right way to go, this will have the best outcomes, This is proven and based on our science and our research. But the reality is, it hasn't helped at all. In fact, it's driven more people and more communities right into the arms of hard drugs. It's increased the number of overdose deaths. And now we're seeing so-called safer supply being diverted and being used to have new people addicted to drugs. So overall, the whole thing has been a policy failure from these supposed experts who know what's going on. And I think you just have to look at what's happening in Vancouver and in British Columbia to see the harm. If Toronto goes down this failed path, we'll see the harm there too. You can only hope that politicians concerned about re-election, their own self-interest, will do the right thing before too many more Canadians are hurt by uncontrolled addiction and illegal narcotics.
And William, you're out in Alberta, where Alberta Premier Danielle Smith has taken a radically different approach. She's approached this from the point of recovery and treatment, even going so far as requiring mandatory treatment for certain individuals who meet standards set by medical professionals. So I know that this program hasn't been around for long and it's in its early stages of implementation, but do you see any changes? Is this working?
I think you're right that it's definitely a different approach and it is still in the fairly early stages. It's also part of a coordinated effort to address things like chronic homelessness and other things like that and mental health challenges. But what I can tell you is simply spending time in our cities, you see fewer people doing drugs on the streets, in parks, and in public places. That used to be much more prevalent when safe injection sites were more widely used and there wasn't the same focus on addiction treatment. So I think, like a lot of people, I have my fingers crossed that this approach that the Alberta government has taken, which was in part developed with people who have real life experience dealing with addiction and with people who are addicted, I think we have a lot of hope that we're going to see an improvement in the coming years. But I think it is a very big contrast to what we've seen, which is complete and total failure in places like Vancouver.
That's it for today, folks. Make sure to check in at www.tnc.news throughout the day for all the news you need to know. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to share our work with your friends and neighbors. And if able, please consider supporting independent media at donate.tnc.news.